Welcome to the Masterclass of One with Zig Ziglar Master Coach David Creel. It's called the Masterclass of One because it's about the person David is speaking to, but you can listen and act like David is asking you the questions. Then go and apply them and change your life. If you want to create impact in the lives of others, increase your personal income, and be a more productive and efficient human being, you're in the right place. We're glad you're here.
Hello again, everyone. David Creel, Ziglar Master Coach, with another episode of the Masterclass of One podcast. Today, I have my good friend from the great state of, tell us, Mark.
Minnesota,
where we just talking offline, and I'm in the Houston area, and it's 93, 95 here, and he said it's 93 in Minnesota, so we're comparable in that. So, yeah. Mark, thanks for joining me today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty fantastic. It's great to be here, David. Thanks.
Awesome. Okay, so I am too, and this is going to be fun. So, you obviously know the format, so this is going to be a coaching call, and we're going to see what we can create. So, with that being said, what would make this an amazing conversation for you today?
So, one of the things I've battled this all of my life, and I'm kind of either all in or not in, trying to find that balance, David, of consistency. I just used the other word that I was going to use. Trying to find the distinction between consistency and life balance is probably the biggest thing for me. So I want to be consistent with what I do. So just the quick background there. I'm a retired worship pastor, 40 years in that particular world. Now, when I say retired, I only use the word retired because that's the word most people know. We really call it repurposed in our world of wanting to continue to be productive, feeling that God has a calling on our life and we want to answer that call. Mm-hmm. So I have Mark A. Lewine Music, and I write and release music. I release 8 songs a year. So in order to release 8 songs a year, I have to be part of writing 50 to 100 songs a year to come up with the best ones. And I co-write with other people. So I'm either having tons and tons of co-writes or none at all. This is part of the dilemma, right? We have a podcast called Grit and Glory, Songs and Stories. Probably one of the most fun things I do. So being on your podcast is really awesome, David. And I've been listening to your podcast, and I'm intimately involved in it, and I love it. The podcast is weekly. It's steady. I'm all in for it because it's times like this when I'm interviewing a guest, and then I go through and I put it together, and then we send it out there. Recently, and we can talk about this a little later on, I've started this new thing called Pack Life for Men. It's a weekly mastermind. And so trying to figure out ways to be in and be present and do the job that I'm called to do. And I've got kids, I've got grandkids, I've got a beautiful wife. I love to golf. David, do you love to golf?
Very much so.
Right. So we both love to golf. And I've played exactly 3 rounds of golf to date this year, 3 rounds, which is kind of unheard of for me at this particular point of my life. Now, we've been doing some camping too, and I've been doing a lot of worship events at these camping things that we've been doing. Coming up again at the end of this month, I'll be leading worship for two Sundays at this campground. So I'm either all in, or I just want to kick my feet up and you know, drink an ice cold Coke and call it a day. And it's hard to find that balance of working enough and playing enough. And that's been my biggest struggle. And I know that if I've got the struggle, I know other people that are listening have to be battling similar issues. I'm not on the DISC profile, David. I'm not a type D personality at all. I can't imagine being that person. No knock on anybody who's a D. I know a lot of D's. I'm a high I and a high S. So I kind of like things to feel good. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I like people to like me. I don't like it when people don't like something I create. That kind of thing, you know? And so there's my biggest struggle to this day is finding that balance between those two.
Okay. So what would you like it to look like?
At this point in my life, so I'm a few years older than you. At this point in my life, one thing I've learned, you know, people think the older you get, the less you have to learn. Holy moly. I've got so much to learn. I wouldn't be here with you right now. I respect you. I have no problem that you're 20-something years younger than me. I admire what you do. I love what you do. I keep learning. The day I quit learning, I just need to probably lock myself in a closet and never come out, because I feel like even though I've got a lot to offer, I find every day I've got so much more that I need to learn. This is one of those learning moments for me. So what would I like it to look like? I would like it to look like my wife and I are partners in this venture, this Mark Aylwine music venture. And she is amazing. She's working in areas of, I was just on another Zoom call talking about finding your zone of genius. And are you working in areas that you, I mean, the job still needs to get done, but are you working on ways to get rid of some of those things so you can work in your zone of genius? I feel like if I could work in my zone of genius, and if I could help my wife figure out ways to work in her zone of genius, we could probably do what we're talking about here. And it's a lot, David. It's a lot. We could probably do this in 15 to 20 hours a week. We're not anywhere close to that. We're way over that. And sometimes it's not knowing when. You use this phrase a couple of times, B plus work is good enough, right? Yep. From a music standpoint, I would push back on that a little bit. I've gotten to a point where I think somebody said, if you don't have something that you're embarrassed about, that you've released, that you've done in your past, you haven't done enough, because everybody's got something that they go, did I really let that out there? Did I really let people hear that? Is that right? My first few podcasts, really? Did I really let that out there? But you know, we're pushing to keep things going and learning how to do that B plus work, but still improve so that the A work maybe isn't as hard to achieve. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that you should just be totally content with B plus work. Like, in your own words, you write a lot, write and produce a lot of songs every single year. I think you told me eight songs a year. That's almost a full album every year.
Right.
Okay. But I think the B plus is more like the people that aim, adjust the sight, aim, yeah. Aim, clean the barrel, aim, and they never pull the trigger and fire. You know, so how close are you? Let's give it 20 hours. You said 15 to 20 hours. So let's give it 20 hours. How close are you to that number now?
We're probably, summer's a little harder to gauge because, you know, Cindy's out with the grandkids right now at a swimming pool because it's so hot here. So she's out swimming with them. But through the non-summer months, June, July, and August, we're probably 35 to 40 hours a week each.
Each? And you want to be 20 hours total?
Yeah. What,
10 hours total? I mean, 10 hours a piece, and you're now at 30 to 40? Or,
I think from our perspective, we'd like it to be about 15 to 20 hours each.
Okay. And right now you're at 30 to 40.
30 to 40 each.
Okay.
And a lot of people would say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, we're not 40 years old now. We're in our 60s. So I don't want to keep working 40 hours a week.
Right.
You know, I've got, like I say, I've got kids, and that's the balance of life that we're trying to figure out. So that's why we want to get it down to something that's more manageable.
So the question that comes to mind is, if I could wave a magic wand and whatever you say is can happen, is it possible, not probable, possible to do all you need to do or want to do in 15 to 20 hours a week each?
It is.
Okay, so what's the problem?
That's that balance part I tell you about. Then we find other things that we need. When you're trying to work on something specific, and then you get interrupted, it's very difficult to come back to that particular thing at the same place that you were. So you end up losing, I don't know what the actual thing, I think they say it takes 10 or 15 minutes to get back into what you were doing before. So as a singer-songwriter, when I'm mixing a song, I can't say, I'll give it a good half hour and then I'll go do something else and I'll come back and I'll, because mixing a song can take quite a bit of time, especially for somebody who's not quite as seasoned as some of these other professionals are, that can mix a song in 4 or 5 hours. But I do know that these guys that mix in 4 or 5 hours, many of them or most of them are doing that in one chunk, getting this thing done, getting the sound right, checking it on the different systems and coming back to it. When I get interrupted with whatever's on the schedule, sometimes Cindy will have something that she needs to talk about. And so we'll have to stop and go take care of, or I've interrupted her plenty of times where she's on a roll and I talked to her about something and trying to figure out ways to keep those interruptions at a minimum is not an easy thing. I am also connected to a lot of people. And so I do have to put my phone on D&D and just so that I can get some work done. But there's other times where the people that are on my favorites list, my kids and whatnot, will call, and trying to find those balances it gets very, very difficult. So,
okay. So what would like the interruptions, you know, what would it be like if you had on your calendar? I don't know if this is possible. This is just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So let's say here's your week at a glance. You know, here's, you know, my guess is you're going to try to do this in 6 days, not 7, because, you know, we're supposed to work 6 days and take a day off, not work 12 days a week. So let's assume it starts on a Monday and you got Monday to Saturday to work. And then on Sunday, I try to do as little as humanly possible on Sunday.
Unless I'm on worship team, that's for us as well.
Okay. So could you maybe schedule time in the calendar where you and your bride each know, hey, on Mondays from 8 to 10:30, unless the building is on fire, I'm doing this. I'm not going to come interrupt you. You don't come interrupt me unless it's literally an actual emergency.
Right.
But then maybe that would give her the same window, because in 2.5 hours, if it's focused, you can get a lot of stuff done in 2.5 hours.
A lot of stuff done. Yep.
But it's, I think you're 100% correct where the need to respond to someone else's emergencies. And if you're not watching on YouTube, I'm using emergencies in quotes because oftentimes actual real emergencies aren't actually taking place. It's appeared or it's, oh no, the world, it's not, the world's not ending. Okay. It's not, I promise you. But if you had that time, like say you have a song, I know this could vary, but let's just make it, you know, something practical. Say Mondays from 8 to 10:30 in the morning, pending grandkids or kids aren't coming to visit or whatever, but, or maybe tell them, hey, Dad, we want to come over. Awesome. I'll see you at 10:31. Like at 10:31, you have my full and undivided attention, but I've got to be able to keep somewhat of a schedule or this is never going to get done. And I'm going to fall further and further behind. So maybe experiment with blocking time out, like Monday at this time, I'm going to do this. And then your bride can do what she needs to do, ideally in your zone of genius or as much as possible. Because when you're doing your zone of genius, I'm assuming with, you know, the mixing or making a track or writing, my guess is that 2.5 hours feels like it's about 14 minutes.
It goes by really
fast. It just flies by because you're in flow and you're kind of, you feed off, you know, especially if you have a, you know, you're co-writing with someone else, you may come up with a line and then they have a line that, oh yeah, that goes right here. And then it's all of a sudden you have a song and it's been 2, 2, 3, 4, 6 hours. And it's felt like, you know, 8 minutes and it's like, oh my goodness, we got to go eat, you know? So is that a possibility?
It is. And what you just said there, you know, when you said like when we're co-writing, I co-write now. I've worked with enough professionals to talk to these folks. They say professionals write fast. They don't just write, but they write fast. They don't wait for inspiration. They go after it because they're writers. They're creative writers, songwriters. And so we have what we call these power hour sessions. When we write, I got a friend, Justin. I'm working, actually, the next song I'm working on is one that I wrote with him. And the one that I just released last week, I wrote with him as well. And he's a young guy out in Oregon. And we write in an hour. We get a song written in an hour. Now, we rewrite it. So the real write in the music world is the rewrite. So you want to make sure that you didn't just write fluffy, non-truthful stuff that feels good, you know. But so I may have to go back and tweak it and rewrite a few things. But we write that song with words and music in an hour. We give ourselves an hour and we push through and we get that thing done. So that hour literally seems like 10 or 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just into it and trying to be respectful of each other's schedules. And I think ultimately that's probably what it means for me and Cindy, too. That 2.5 hour block of time, David, that would be. That would be an amazing thing. And then we could put our stuff on the calendar as well. A lot of this sounds very basic, but it's more difficult to actually implement, but I think we can do that.
Well, it may not be 2, 2.5 hours. I don't know, but what if you say from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., 3 or 4 or 5 days a week, I'm working whatever I want to work on. This is my 2 hour block where I'm going to focus on it. Well, that alone. Now, obviously, if you want to go play golf or whatever, you may play golf in the morning. And then when it gets hot, you make it where it's like, hey, I'm going to go play golf this day. So I'm going to make my 2 hour day be at 2 o'clock instead of at 8 o'clock.
Right.
If you had it on the calendar and you both knew the calendar, you knew, like, I'm going to be working this time and so are you. if you did that, that's, you know, that's 12 hours a week. You know, it, 2 hours a day, 2 hours a day. But I think, could it be that the real problem is you feel compelled to reply to people as soon as they text you?
Yes.
Oh, now see, now that's a different story altogether. Okay.
That's why I say sometimes I have to put my phone on do not disturb. I probably need to do that a little bit more often.
Yeah. Because think about it like this, like say, like people look at me like I'm an idiot when I say this, but like email, I generally don't check email till 10 a.m. for the most part. I mean, there are exceptions. I'm not perfect, but for the first 90 minutes of the day, you're not going to get a hold of me because I'm not even looking at my phone. I don't even have my phone by me. My phone's in another room and I'm doing something else, you know, but what if, and I'm not saying you have to be, you know, militant, like, no, I only respond to texts or emails at, you know, between 12 and 12, 18, you know, 3 days a week. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying during that block of time, the only person that should be able to interrupt that is your bride with an actual real emergency. Because if something is almost never, I can't even think of a scenario where, let's say someone was going to text you and you weren't at your house and somebody, and literally your house caught on fire and it was literally burning to the ground, not figuratively it's on fire. Like it's literally burning. Like the fire trucks are coming. Okay. Do you think they're going to text or email you?
No,
there's no chance.
Right.
Your phone would be ringing. So where do you think that comes from? Like the need to not always be available, but always be available to respond.
That's the high I and high S stuff that I was telling you about earlier. I'm responsible for my own actions. But as a pastor, I responded very quickly to people and probably had issues with boundaries. Probably even still today, still have issues with boundaries. And that's when you're asking the question, that's going to be my answer.
Okay. So what if you just sent out kind of like not a group text, but just over the next few days, once you talk to, you know, your wife about, hey, what do you think about, let's do this, where we not getting distracted? Because like you said, you can write a whole song in an hour. Okay. I don't know the first thing about writing a song, but writing a whole song, not where it's like studio ready, but B+ in an hour, that's pretty good from what very little to no experience I have writing a song because I've never written one. But if you told me I'm going to sit down and I'm going to hammer out the song in the next 55 minutes, I think that's pretty good. Okay. But could it be possible that 55 minutes turns into an hour and 55 minutes because of, I'm just going to check this. I'm just going to check this. I'm just going to check this. And you're not really focused on what's going on
all the time. Thanks a lot for pointing that out, David. That's what it is.
Okay. So I think this is just me. I'm just hearing about this myself. So I think it is not only extremely possible to get it, because right now, say you're at 40 hours, you want to get down to 20 at the most. But if you just say the song thing, say it takes an hour, not under all circumstances, but like with this one guy, Justin, apparently y'all have a kind of a, y'all are like this apparently, where y'all, you're hand in glove and y'all feed off each other. But if you write that, that's an hour instead of taking 2 hours. Now in, say, your 2 hour block, you've written a whole song and you still have 60 minutes to do whatever. So what if you, over the next few days, if your wife's on board with this, why don't you just reach out to people and say, hey, literally from 8 to 10, I'm not going to be available because I need to focus on this because I don't want to work 80 hour weeks. And then that way, that's starting to put up those boundary markers.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you know, if somebody gets a hold of you, it's urgent, not in their head, like literally the building's on fire.
Right.
But then just doing that right there may save you 5 or 6 hours a week.
That's pretty valuable time right there.
Well, now you were at 30, you had a kind of a slow week, you're at 30, now you're at 24 or 25. Well, that's a whole lot closer to get to 15 or 20 than it is 40. And maybe it's not 8 a.m. I don't know what your, the musicians I know, except my mother, that they're up at midnight. They're like, they're not going to bed at 7, like, cause that's when normally like gigs happen and whatever. So it may not be 8 a.m. It may be, I'm going to work from 10 a.m. to midnight or whatever, you know, and it doesn't have to be your wife has the same 2 hour block as you, but you each got to know, like, maybe you're more of a night person. Maybe she's more of a morning person. Like, okay, I'm going to have my 2 hour block. And maybe the rule is, you know, if, like, say she has her office, if the door's shut, do not come in there unless it's an emergency. If the door's open, hey, I'm doing administrative stuff or emails or whatever. But if the door's shut or if the light's on, it's not playtime. Like, right. This is work time. And then when the light's off, I've got my full and undivided attention.
That's great.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, well,
that's great.
I think we're there.
I think we're there too. You know, so much of this is a matter of identification and then being disciplined enough to enact that. And I started one song off, goes, sometimes I'm my biggest obstacle. That's a real life line that I wrote for that song. When I get in my own way, I'm inoperable. And so that a lot of the stuff we're talking about here is self-inflicted. And but to talk about it with you really helps identify it. I appreciate that so much.
Tell me the, sometimes I get in my own way. Is that what was the very first line?
Sometimes I'm my biggest obstacle.
Yes, but only always.
Thanks for narrowing it that down a little bit there.
So
yeah,
but so here's one thing I would challenge you with though. Don't commit to doing this for the next 7 weeks of your life. Just try to commit to doing it tomorrow. Talk to your wife, find a 2 hour block that works for, you know, it doesn't have to be the same time.
Yep.
And just commit to doing 2 hours tomorrow and see what happens.
Okay.
And then if the good Lord allows you to wake up, let's see, today's Monday. So if the good Lord allows you to wake up Wednesday, only commit to 2 hours on Wednesday.
Okay.
And if the good Lord allows you to wake up on Thursday, I'm not committed to doing this for the next 7 years. I'm only committed to doing it tomorrow.
Okay.
Because then what my guess is what's going to happen is it may be way more than 10 to 15, 20 minutes that it takes you to get back into kind of the flow that you were in before the interruption. And it may not, but my guess is that just doing that alone will probably free up a minimum of 5 hours a week, minimum. And
that's just on my end. I bet you that does the same thing for her.
Well, yeah. So 5 hours for, say it's minimum 5 hours to you and minimum 5 hours for her, you know, like say it's 8 to 10, say that's the window, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Well, from that time, you don't go in and you don't say, hey, babe or honey or whatever you call her, what are you thinking for lunch? Or I'm thinking this for lunch. No, you can still think of that at 10:01. You can come in there and talk about whatever you want. Yeah. But every time, if you come in, like just like your distractions, she has the same thing where now it takes her another 10 or 15 minutes to get back into what she was doing. And every time I do anything that involves, I need to focus, like if I'm reading or I'm doing something like this, or like I'm doing my power hour or I have a coaching session, my phone is on do not disturb. Like it, I'm not going to get it.
Okay.
So, and you know, Brendan Burchard, who wrote the book High Performance Habits, I heard him say, like Brendan Burchard has coached, he's coached a lady you've probably heard of named Oprah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of his clients. Like not Oprah Winfrey. Okay. For everybody that doesn't know who Oprah is, but he says, whether I'm coaching Oprah or Fortune 50 CEOs, not Fortune 100, Fortune 50s.
That's, yeah.
He said the very first thing he does at their very first meeting, oh, by the way, he charges $1 million to work with him one-on-one. $1 million. And he said they're normally done in 6 months. Okay. So these are the kind of people that he's dealing with. The very first thing he says, and I heard him say this literally on stage 2 months ago. He said, the very first thing I say is, they'll bring him in and they'll say, yeah, I'm a high D and a high I on the disc. You know, this is my Enneagram. This is my strengths finder. And he'll say, awesome. Let me see your calendar. And they'll say, yeah, but we have this. And he's like, awesome. We can talk about all that stuff after you show me your calendar.
That's where it happens, isn't it?
Well, if it's not on the calendar, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Like if you look at my calendar sitting right here, I've got all different colors. And if it doesn't get written down in that book, it's almost certainly not happening. But so let me see your calendar.
That's a great word.
Awesome. Okay. Well, this was a blast.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
And I know you said on this episode earlier, you said you were intimately acquainted with my podcast. The reason for that is because Mark does the intro and outro, and he masters it. Is that the right word?
I put everything together and then I master it. So I have the intro that you wrote, but then I did the voiceover and the outro, and then you use one of my songs. I think it's the song called Enough. That's the intro and outro music.
Yes. Yes.
And then I get those to you so you can release them.
Right. So when he says he's intimately acquainted with it, that's because
he is,
as he told me, I got this to where it was B+. It was, I had a podcast, you know, I did the artwork. But I didn't have an intro. I didn't have an outro, and it would make it be more professional. So now that's where the B+ is. Now I'm making it a little bit better. And Mark has a big hand in that. And he makes me sound better than I probably am.
I'm honored to do it. I'm honored to do it. Yeah.
So with that being said, thanks for joining me today. I can't wait to hear the result of this. And like you said, you can be found Mark Alwine Music.
Yeah, so it's Mark Alewine, A-L-E-W-I-N-E. It's the two beverages put together, ale and wine.
Yep.
Mark Alewine Music. .com, and then we have our podcast that you've been on. Actually, your episode comes out very soon here, and so people can find that at Grit and Glory, and it's the ampersand, it's not the word and. Grit and Glory, comma, songs and stories, and we just tell God stories, and we get to hear from people like you who've had a wealth of experience, and people can listen to that and be encouraged. And then just recently we've started a new mastermind, David. And this is for, when I say we, my wife and I are a team, but it's just me on the mastermind. It's called Pack Life Men. And it's a men's Christian mastermind. And a mastermind is simply a group of people that have similar goals and challenges, and they rely on each other for accountability and advice and support. And so we get together every week, Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, and for an hour. And I just kind of help Christian men overcome pride, anxiety, stress, toxic culture. And together we kind of pursue that identity that God has for us. When I say I lead this particular group because we want to do this as a collective. And so that's the strength of a mastermind. And so we'd love for people to check us out, and they can get that at www.packlifemen.com. Packlifemen.com. So that's what's going on with us.
Awesome. Okay. Well, yeah. As in the words of one of my mentors, this has been a plum pleasing pleasure as well as a privilege.
And I love your sign in the background there. That's a huge thing for me to take home just in my mind there. You can't be elite with average work ethic. That's going to apply to me today. Thank you.
Yep. Hat tip to Trent Shelton for that gold nugget right there. You can't be elite with average work ethic. So
that's right.
We will see y'all next time, and y'all have a great one.
David has been a coach basically his entire life. He was made to coach people. He loves seeing people transform their lives through coaching. It's been said that it takes a coach to get you to a place inside yourself that you can't get to by yourself. It's also been said that you're only one conversation away from a completely changed life, and that nothing ever happens outside of a conversation. If you'd like to have a conversation with David about where you currently are in life and where you want to go, reach out to him at davidcreel.com.